The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
We are the soul of Jefferson this morning.
We are.
Amen, amen.
This is Terry Raposa.
Janet Chandler.
And Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
We're broadcasting live at KCNR Studios from downtown Reading. This is Jefferson's State of Mine, M-I-N-E, mine. Yours. Hopefully
it's
all
mine,
of ours.
It's mine.
It's mine. We're broadcasting on KCNR Radio online, kcnr.com. We are streaming worldwide. You can listen to us at 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, or 1460 AM, where we always hope it's working.
Fair weather, it usually is.
It is. The weather's good. That means we don't have to hire an engineer to go up to the mountain. So anyway, yeah, we're here. We've got some exciting things going on, and we have a couple of candidates here for the Shasta County Board of Education, and we're excited about that. We're going to be talking to them in just a minute. We did have a fundraiser for Mark Baird, a Second Amendment fundraiser on Friday night. It was an extreme success. And Janet, thank you, and the folks in Bernie for all those great folks that came down here and supported everything. And Arthur Gorman, thank you for helping us there. You have a fundraiser too we'll talk about. And we just really had a great time. It was pretty incredible. We actually had Mark Baird speak for 12 minutes, and that video has gone viral about liberty, what liberty means, what it means to have our freedom, and what the importance is of the Second Amendment to the rest of everything in the Constitution and all our freedoms. If you have a comment or a question, phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and we archive this show. And Teresa and Arthur, you have our blessing to share this interview with everybody. So hopefully that'll give you a little bit of a kickstart on this candidacy. And I'd like to, first of all, introduce Teresa Roberts, who is running for the Shasta County Board of Education for Area 2.
Yes. Good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. So are you excited about your run? And
I am.
Yeah.
I am. We've done some good things over the last 2 years, and I feel like I can put in another 12.
Well, there
or
you go.
10 or.
That's great. You know, we need people that care about the kids. And I'm not saying that there are people on that board that don't care about the kids. But what exactly, are you trying to accomplish in your role if you were to win? What is it you're trying to accomplish, number one? And number two, what made you want to do this?
Well, I'd like to see common sense back into the schools. I'd like to see true education back into the schools. There are people that are running for this board right now that are using it as a stepping stone for a political gain. We don't need that. We need somebody who cares about the education of the next generation that's going to be making decisions for us. We also need people who care about the innocence of children that is being stolen at a very early age in the school system. We need people that realize the children here in California, even in Shasta County, don't know how to read. I've got a 9-year-old granddaughter that reads better than most high schoolers.
Wow.
It's sad. You
was
know,
she, was she, did she go to a public school?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me get this straight. So she didn't go to a public school.
No.
So that means she had probably a better education.
Yes. Yes. Okay. She actually, when she was learning to read, she was learning to read with a book, not on a Chrome, not on a computer, with a book, with people who wanted to teach her how to read.
Was it her mom that did the teaching?
It's her mom and her dad, and they were in a charter school, okay. But it wasn't. They were only going to be there until this year. So from this year on, they will be homeschooled. But the fact that they were teaching these kids with a book instead of a Chromebook, there was so much more personal. And that personal is what keeps these kids connected. It's what keeps them learning. It's what keeps them excited to learn because there's that personal connection.
Arthur Gorman, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Terry.
And you are running for Area 2 also for the Shasta County Board of Education. And by the way, again, folks, we archive this program 5 minutes, right, Alex? After we're done, 5 minutes, and we're ready to go. So if you have friends that you know that need to be hearing this show, send them to the archive, and we will have it there. Arthur, so I'm going to ask you the same questions. What do you hope to accomplish by running, number one? And number two, what inspired you to do it?
Yeah, so number one, what we hope to accomplish is over 51% of California kids are unable to read at grade level and comprehend. Over 60% of our kids are unable to get to the standard for math and science.
Wow.
At California, Prop 98, we spend $140 to $150 billion on education, more than any other state in the nation, and we have some of the worst outcomes.
Yeah, what are we in the nation now? Like 49 or something?
It's almost dead last.
Oh,
almost
man.
Dead last.
And we spend the most.
Wow.
And
wow.
roughly 40% of the state budget goes to it. So everybody should be concerned about education because we're all paying for it, whether
sure.
you like it or not.
Is it administrative that we're paying way over the top with, or is it actually stuff that's filtered down to the students?
Well, if you ask teachers in the classroom, like my wife at Buckeye Room 11, they couldn't even get pencils. And paper, and there's like a paper famine that they couldn't even get paper for some of the time. So this money is just like any other government entity, only goes to the top. It doesn't trickle down where the kids need it. So our goal is to make sure that every kid in Shasta County gets what they need. They get
right.
pencils, paper. The teachers get the resources they need. They get the professional development. And so at the county level, what we've done, Teresa and I, we've instituted our reading program. The Power of Reading, we've got the Dolly Parton Library now with First Five Shasta.
Hmm.
Kids can get books for free. They can just sign up for it, and it'll be delivered to their house. We've partnered. They have reading buddies within our program, so kids that now have a reading buddy. So what Teresa was talking about is that tangible thing, that book in your hand, and you have a partner reading it with you, and you're reading it back. And that has gone great because the Mississippi Miracle, people hear about that, but if you listen to teachers, teachers have been doing flashcards and all these other things. The teachers know what works. They know that
right.
the flashcards aren't teaching reading, it's just sight words.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting that book in your hand, reading it out loud, and seeing someone else read it to you, within our program, every kid is reading at grade level and beyond. So we don't control everything else in the Shasta County. There are 25 school boards, and we're just one of them. But we do offer that professional development for the teachers, and we do offer those services for the kids throughout the county. So if they want to come and use that taxpayer money that we have set aside, we have $10 million of
surplus. For our county?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so
good.
We want to provide that value to every kid in Shasta County. Because the goal would be that when kids go through school in Shasta County and they graduate, that every kid has the opportunity to do whatever they want.
Right.
And that every company, whether it's a trade union, whether it's the military, whether it's a college, they're all wanting a kid from Shasta County because kids from Shasta County are way beyond state level. They are beyond anything. And so they are capable to do anything they want in life. So that's what the overall goal. Why I got off of the sidelines into the fight, that was back when the COVID craziness was here.
Mm-hmm.
They were masking our kids. They were force vaccinating our kids. They were having testing sites on campus, and that was totally unacceptable. And the parents showed up. We went to every single level of government. We asked the school boards, the city council, the board of supervisors, assembly, senate, and everybody up, and everybody passed the buck. And what you folks in here have taught us is jurisdiction and authority, interposition and nullification, and we took that to heart, and the parents sued Newsom and Bonta and said, we want the masks off the kids. We want the vaccine clinics out. And they said, hey, we're not doing any of that. we actually don't have jurisdiction over it. The liability doesn't fall on the state. It falls on your local school board. So your local school board is its own little government with its five or seven individuals that have the ability to tell the state no. We've seen that with boys and girls sports. The schools say, no, we're not doing it. We've seen that with forced vaccines and masking with the schools that didn't do it. The state couldn't do anything. They say, well, you're going to lose your liability insurance. The state's going to sue you. Guess what? The government can't sue the government. And they're going to lose every time because they don't have the jurisdiction and authority.
Right.
And we can step in and intercede for our constituents against the state.
Now, do you have anything? Do you have anything to do with the curriculum that the kids have? Is there anything on the Shasta County Board of Education where you can influence the curriculum? That's my first question. My other one is how do the school boards look? In your opinions, how does the school boards look as far as are they trying to do the right thing? We have good school boards here in Shasta County. What's your opinion? Go ahead, Teresa.
We have some school boards that are. That are trying to make some of the common sense changes, but then you've got other board members on that board that are doing some pretty intense pushback. As for the curriculum, I'm not quite sure what we can change in that, especially around
no jurisdiction over that.
Not the 25 districts.
Gotcha.
Right. So we have our jurisdiction is we have juvenile hall, we have some expelled youth. We have kids that have severe medical issues, and within our own programs that we have, such as some preschools, we have the ability to do that. The difference between our board and other school boards is that we have an elected superintendent of schools. So there is a division of authority and jurisdiction within that, and so we have a lot of our jurisdiction authority lies on the budget and on policies and other things. And we can push back on those portions, but then the elected superintendent also has their authority and jurisdiction as well. So we can work together on things that, like curriculum and whatnot that goes into that.
Okay.
So it is one of those things that, with juvenile hall, it's a little bit different. It's not like the traditional school. And we have a credit recovery program for kids that are, you know, they're not making it in regular school, so they didn't pass their classes, so they can come and do some homeschooling with, some of that.
So am I correct in assuming that the County Board of Education is sort of a conduit? It funnels funds from grants or wherever to the local school districts, and it funnels information and authority from the state. So it really does not control the local boards?
Correct. We have no jurisdiction over the other boards, and they don't have any jurisdiction over us. So their own little government entity. They can do whatever they want. We can give suggestions, like Newsom gave suggestions to the schools to do certain things, but they don't have to follow it at all. So what we do is we have grants. We're mostly grant-funded versus a regular school that has different allotments. But with that, we offer opportunities, and the schools can take them or not. So they offer suggestions, and the schools can take it or not.
When I was a teacher, my paycheck came from not my local school board, but from the county. So that's the state gives the county board the funds, and you send it to the local districts. Is that how it works?
Well, actually, it's kind of weird because every school district could do that for themselves. They just choose not to. So they.
So some do.
We
some
are
don't,
just
or?
We are just offering HR services
right.
for school districts because they don't want to. Other school districts they've done that in the past, and then they've just given that responsibility over to the County Board of Education, which we hire more people.
But it's voluntary.
It's
they
voluntary.
Don't have to do it through you.
No, they don't have to do it through us.
Do all of them do it through you, or do just a certain percentage?
Most of them
percentage?
Do. I know when my wife was working for Gateway, she was getting hers from the county. But, okay. but they don't have to. They could do it themselves.
Right. Yeah. We get that. We just were wondering if there's a ratio between who does and who doesn't. And it'd be interesting to know why they would or why they wouldn't.
Because the question that's always asked is,
right.
what does the County Board of Education do?
Right.
Why are they there?
Right.
What's their purpose? And yeah. it's a bit difficult to explain it.
Yeah, so the original purpose, if you go through history, the superintendent of county schools mm-hmm. is a constitutional superintendent. Kind of odd, right? So the state would send a superintendent back up to Shasta County when there's nothing here. And that superintendent's job, sole purpose was to make sure when teachers entered the county that they had the proper credentials and they took the oath to the Constitution. And then they would send that teacher.
So did Newsom. I mean, you know, well, back in that doesn't mean anything.
Back in the day, that actually meant something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so did the state superintendent of public education take an oath, but that, and so now at the state level, they have completely stripped the superintendent of public education of all power. Is that correct? The legislature just
most
recently.
Of it. Yeah, most of it. So they want to give whoever the governor's appointee the majority of the power, but the current whoever that superintendent is going to be can still be on the different boards and go to the different associations and be in the room where things happen, but they don't have the authority and jurisdiction that they had before.
Even though it is a constitutional office.
So, oddly enough, they were going to sue on that issue, but they didn't write it into the Constitution. So, since it wasn't in the Constitution, they can't. They left the duties up to the legislature.
You're talking about the United States Constitution. You want to clarify that?
Oh, yes. Constitution.
So, we
got to
make sure we clarify that.
No, California.
So, no, they didn't write it into. They wrote it into the California Constitution, or they did not. Number one, number two, it isn't in. There's nothing on education in the United States Constitution.
No, it's so they, California.
Yeah. So they left the duties and responsibilities of the superintendent of state education up to the assembly, the Senate, and the governor.
Okay, so the state did that.
The state did that. Yeah.
Okay.
So if it had written into the Constitution, they couldn't have done it. But
right.
Because it wasn't. The duties weren't written in.
Right.
Just the position.
Just the position.
Right.
Well, they could have done it, and they would have done it.
Yeah. They do anything they want.
Yeah. We know that.
I think Jerry Carter took a... Didn't Jimmy Carter take a oath of the Constitution?
Well, rumor is they all did.
They all did. Gosh, you know, I mean, so a lot of times an oath could be an affirmation. You know, it's kind of like, this is my affirmation, not my oath. Big difference between the words. But anyway, so... What is it exactly that you hope to, both of you, hope to really accomplish in this position to make an impact? What is the main thing that you think you can impact to help the kids?
So, going back to our reading initiative, every kid that enters our program now is reading at or beyond grade level. So, if we can offer that same service to all the different 24 school districts,
good.
That can increase reading.
You said offer, you can't implement.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, so you can't implement, you can offer.
Correct.
And then it's up to the school board to take it. Mm-hmm. What has your experience been on that, Teresa? Because I think you've been in office, haven't you?
Yeah, only for 2 years.
Okay, so what's your experience?
I'm still kind of a newbie on this, so gotcha. I'm still learning a lot and finding where things aren't working.
You think that's by, again, if the school district has the choice to take this great program that you've got, then how many of them are actually implementing at this point? Because that will that kind of help us with the school districts that really need new board members? Go ahead. Either one of you can take that.
So so what we've done is we did the professional development. So we brought almost 600 educators from around the county in to learn the science of reading and our program. So we offer that service every year, and so far, it's been pretty much kind of sold out. Like they all send their teachers there. So the teachers can take that information and implement it to their classroom directly. And that's what our hope is, getting services directly to the teacher in the classroom and the student. And so even if the school district as a whole doesn't adopt our program, the teachers in the classroom have that information.
And they have the ability, they have the ability to do it.
Yeah.
Now when you're talking about teaching the science of reading, can we condense that down to phonics?
Correct. No, So you can do it. Well, teachers have a lot of autonomy in their classroom.
Unfortunately, and that's why we are 50th out of 50 states in reading skills.
And the other issue is like the bureaucracy of schools. Like in my wife's classroom, they wanted her to take 30 minutes out of reading time almost every day to focus on feelings. So instead of focusing on reading,
well, I feel like I should be learning to read.
So
and they were those students were kindergartners. Correct?
Those are kindergartners.
Let's get them focused on reading, then they can read about feelings.
Right. So most teachers will say, thank you for your advice. We're not focusing on feelings today. We're going to focus on reading because my job is to teach your children how to read, and then your job as a parent is to focus on the emotional aspects of your health. So, because parents have the fundamental right to the upbringing of their kids.
Right. Bite your tongue. Right.
I'm wondering why. I know that my kids went to Liberty Christian, all of them. And I think your kid's author went to
Reading Christian.
Reading Christian. So, and your granddaughter is homeschooled, and we're talking about public schools. And what we're talking about is people out there in public schools. I mean, it seems to me like the whole public school system needs to be revamped or something, because most people are pulling their kids out of public school and educating them either privately or at home. So
let's look at the state of Jefferson Constitution, shall we?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, so I guess my question is, how do we help as citizens? How do we help you too in moving forward on this thing? And how do we? I know that in the school where your kids went, Author, Ready Christian and Liberty Christian, we as parents could go sit in the classroom. We could go do stuff. We could help in there. And of course, being homeschooled, Teresa, that that's pretty easy. Mom's right there. So,
well, I had five kids here that went to public school. One of them I wound up pulling out, and he wound up going to a homeschool co-op.
Okay.
And then the second youngest one, we wound up pulling her out to do independent study, because not every kid is the same. They don't learn the same way. And that's what they are expecting in a public school system, is that all kids go into the same box. They all learn the same way. And it doesn't work that well.
Yeah,
so we
point.
Had two of them that we pulled out. But yeah. I do have, I had three of them that were taught in a public school. Two of them went to college and are both are now engineers. And another one who didn't really go to college, learned the trades. He opened up, he had his own business in the pipe fitting.
I guess my question is that's, when exactly was that? How long ago did those kids graduate high school?
The oldest will be 40 this year.
Okay. Well, we're talking about
The last one, though, just turned 18.
Has the state...
And is that one that was homeschooled? Or?
Yeah, we wound up pulling him out.
So the younger ones,
up.
Because don't you think the educational system's changed a bit?
100%.
Okay, well, that's the issue.
Has the state recently instituted legislation that was going to require or suggest phonics teaching in California schools?
That and cursive.
Yes. So at what was it, a mandate? Was it a requirement? Was it a suggestion? What did the legislature actually do as far as cursive and phonics?
So I think it was a suggestion, because there was no teeth to it, because there's nothing that if you don't do it, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
So this is a desire. It's almost like a resolution. We want our kids to learn phonics. We want our kids to implement the power of reading. We want our kids to learn cursive.
And, of course, how can the teachers teach phonics if they don't know phonics, which sounds like your science of reading program at the county level was to teach the teachers how to teach phonics.
Correct.
And reading.
Well, and, too, with the cursive part, it should have been implemented, and it should have been implemented in cursive. So why not do it from the state level down to the school boards, from the school boards to the teachers, all written in cursive, just proving a point. Just prove the point. Now, how many of those teachers are going to struggle with reading cursive? That will define why, okay, we're in 50th place as far as education in the United States.
Right. But the legislative body has jurisdiction, is what they're saying.
Right.
Okay, so the legislative body is 80% Democrat, period.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get things done at a state level? And that's why I appreciate what you two are doing, because you're fighting at the local level. Again,
mm-hmm.
What, Author, you and I want to, I'm going to bring this up after the break, because I want to talk about the great thing that you and Katie and another young couple and people did. I think it was October 2020 or 2021.
October 18th.
I mean, all this stuff is good. But it's like, if you have a legislative body in the state of California that's all Democrat and they're woke, and I appreciate, Teresa, the fact that, you pulled your kids out of school, mm-hmm. but 10 years ago, it was apples and oranges. This is completely different. I mean, we have, we've got the whole thing with transgender, we've got all the laws that have been passed with the bathroom situation where they can pull your kids out of school for counseling. This is a different animal. Anything that happened 15 years ago is a moot point to what we have now. And if the legislative body is controlling what we have now, how do we fix it?
Because it started 15 years ago.
Well, whatever.
Yeah,
the
that's when it all started, when I pulled my daughter out of the public school system. That's when it started, was 15 years ago. Now it is just exasperated and blown up.
Well, actually, you're right about that. 2009 was one of the first things. In fact, actually, it was 24 years ago when they introduced Harvey Milk Day. It was 24 years ago. And that's when it all started. And by 2003, we already had laws that you couldn't discriminate between gay, lesbian, or heterosexual, or anything like that, and bullying. That was all 2003. This has been going on for a long time. And I have a friend, Patricia Santangelo, who has proof this has been going on since the late 1880s. So, no, this isn't something, I don't mean any disrespect, but no, this has been going on for a long time, and I think as a grandfather, a great-grandfather, I'm frustrated with it. I want to do something about it. I want to help. But working through a legislative body that won't help us isn't going to do anything. So with that, I want to come back after the break, author, and I want to talk about the great thing you guys did, how you stood up as parents, because that's something I think we can do as parents, grandparents, and citizens. So time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Yep.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, I got the money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit plumasbank.com.
Since 2019, Organic Pilates has been helping Reading build stronger bodies, not just for summer, but every season of life. Experience matters. We don't teach exercises. We teach to the body in front of us. The best way to start is with our $99 new student intro. One semi-private session, two group reformer classes, and an infrared sauna session. Visit us downtown with free parking. We're right in between curated and theory coffee. Your Pilates story starts here.
Business is booming at Reading Heating and Air, and we have a simple philosophy. Our neighbors deserve elite talent. We are looking for the absolute best service technicians and installers in the North State.
That's right. We aren't just looking to fill a seat. We're looking for pros who take pride in their craft and care about the community we serve.
If you're at the top of your game, you belong in a company that respects your expertise. Because here, we take the trust of our neighbors personally.
We're hiring service technicians and installers right now. We offer the best compensation in town because we believe the best of the best deserve to be treated that way.
If you're a seasoned pro ready to lead in a company where excellence is the standard, we want you on our team.
No joke. We've got the work. If you've got the skills, come join the family.
Service technicians and installers, apply today to Reading Heating and Air. Visit readingheatingair.com to submit your application. Reading Heating and Air, old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
The 45th Annual Honeybee Festival is happening Saturday and Sunday, September 26th and 27th at the Bishop Quinn Community Center at 21,893 Old 44 Drive in Palisadro. Admission is free! And we'd like to thank our main sponsor, Roof Savers. Enjoy a craft fair featuring local businesses and vendors, live music, delicious food, the NorCal Antique Tractor and Engine Parade, along with the live bee beer demonstration. Start your morning off with a $10 pancake. Cake breakfast served from 8 a.m. until 10:30 a.m. both days. The festival runs Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Proceeds benefit Palisadro Park. Don't miss the buzz at the 45th Annual Honeybee Festival September 26th and 27th at Bishop Quinn Community Center. Admission is free. A small parking fee applies. And special thanks to our main sponsor, Roof Savers.
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Well, that's depressing. All my troubles are here to stay. No.
Sally Lou. You're probably laughing, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you are. I can see you from here through the microphone. Anyway, we have Lori Bridgeford on the line. Lori, what say you, my dear?
Hey, real good. I'm taking notes. This is amazing. I'm thinking there might be room to question your guests on, are we raising a new generation of robot helpers for the AI, like slaves, kids that don't think for themselves, that kind of thing? And I remember one of our friends we saw him at the event the other night, the William Wilberforce School. That person was an abolitionist kind of person and whatnot. But I'm just, if I can, in closing, offer a shout-out to Morton Gasecki and his wife, Levon. He does the bell ringing at Dick and Fran's barn
Big Red Barn, yep.
Yeah, that's what it is. And he helps Dane Wigington a lot with the promotional stuff. He's helped with Jefferson. He's been at events forever and a day. And I just want to commend both of them for just making a big difference in our community. And they've been through their own trials and health issues like some of us are. But I just want to say that, and I'll get back to the show here and take some more notes. Thank you.
All right, my dear.
And
thank you.
Morton was there at the fundraiser on Friday handing out CDs that he does himself. He doesn't get paid for it, of this show, and Mark Baird in particular, who was a guest. Morton has always been a supporter.
He's a great supporter.
Okay, so we are here with Teresa Roberts and Arthur Gorman. They are both running for the Shasta County Board of Education for Area 2. And
would you please explain the areas that are covered by the Board of Education and why you're both running for Area 2 and what's Area 1, and you're not really competing with each other, you're cooperating. So explain the areas. People don't know that.
So there's two areas in Shasta County Board of Education. Area 1 is the Redding School District, Enterprise School District, Grant School District, and Old Shasta. So it's that central area of Redding. So that's Area 1. Area 2 is everything else in the whole entire county.
Oh, wow.
So it's up to Igo, Shasta Lake, out to Anderson, Cottonwood,
Fall River,
Burney, and we have a big area. There's 7 people on the board. For this position, Teresa and I are running to keep our seats as the conservative voice for Shasta County.
Because you're both incumbents, correct?
Correct.
And we're
not running against each other, right?
No,
we're not running against each other. In fact, the teachers' unions have entered their candidates into the race, so we're running against the teachers' union. Right? So,
oh, please. Any teacher who belongs to the teachers' union has a part of their brain missing. You are supporting with your dollars things that you probably wouldn't support otherwise.
David.
And I'm stepping on teachers' toes, but...
Go for it.
One of the phrases from the teachers' union was always, what has the CTA done for you lately? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. Wake up. Stop giving them your money.
We have a caller on the line. David, what say you, sir?
Oh, hi. I'm a big fan of Thomas Jefferson, and I noticed that there's a school textbook commission out of Texas that just took Thomas Jefferson out of all of the textbooks.
Hey, David, are you David from San Francisco?
I sure am.
Oh, man, I haven't talked to you for a long time. So if you have a question for the guest, go ahead. If not, then we've got to move back on.
Yeah, I wonder, the school stability all around the nation has been falling apart for years.
True.
And it's pretty much because of this school textbook commission that they're basically allowing Texas to decide what all the textbooks around the nation are based on. Because they have so many school districts.
Hey, David, with all due respect, they can't do anything about this. Do you have any question about school boards or maybe your county school board or anything there in San Francisco?
Well, would they refuse to accept textbooks that are authorized by the School Textbook Commission?
I don't think they have jurisdiction over curriculum. We went through that.
Just in our school district. So
right.
every school district, like your school districts down there, they can choose whatever curriculum they want.
Exactly.
And they can get ready. They can go Hillsdale College if they want.
Right.
They can do a whole lot of things, but you need school board members with a backbone that will read their agenda and stand up against the state and put themselves in between them, the state, and so they can protect the parents and they can protect their kids. And that's how you get your school boards back, by running. So I encourage you to run for your school board and take your community back for yourself.
Thanks for the call, David.
And that's their jurisdiction as a board member.
Correct.
So they stand... keeper of the gate, so to speak.
And you have to count to 3 on most school boards. We have to count to four, so that's why it's really important for Teresa and I to get on that board, and our other friend, Michelle Renee Tyson, that's running for Area 1 that everybody needs to vote for, because if we get all three of us on there, we have Jackie and Michael Ehrlichy already there that they don't have to run. So we'll have five strong conservatives protecting Shasta County for parents, children, and increasing educational outcomes.
Nice. Okay.
Good. Good.
So there is hope.
There is hope. Okay, can you stretch your can you stretch your jurisdiction a little bit? Because you probably have some other influence. I mean, you don't have to tell me if you've got a strategy. We don't want anybody else to know.
So,
just look at me now and nod your head.
So what we're doing as the strategy is that over the last 6 years, so we talked about 2021, mm-hmm. October 18th,
yes.
when
yes.
everybody stood up, right? Mm-hmm. Over almost 50% of students in Shasta County stayed home on October 18th because the state said, you will mask, you will vaccinate, or you will not have a free and equal education that is guaranteed to you by the California Constitution and the Constitution of the United States. So we all pushed back. We knew, because of you folks, what jurisdiction authority was, and we knew how to fight back. And so we did. We just said, we're not sending our kids to school. That led to another thing down the line where Dale Bigtree did a Freedom of Information Act, where we protested against all of our schools. We went to the county. The superintendents had to have an emergency meeting because parents are terrorists and they can't, you know, negotiate with terrorists. So they held up in the county office of education in a secret meeting against the parents and the community. And they did send a letter of distress because they said, for your situational awareness, if you implement these vaccine mandates, we will not have public education here in Shasta County. And that went to Newsom, Bonta, Senator Pan that was instituting this horrible stuff, and they sent it around this country, and they said, you know, if we keep on pushing this, we're not going to have public education. So Dale Bigtree pulled that up, and because of that, you should go watch a show, it said, because Shasta County stood up, because Shasta County pushed back, and rippled that wave across California. Things that happen in California eventually go across the state, the country, and the world. And because Shasta County stood up, they saved their own community, they saved California, and they saved the United States. And that's because people like you, people in this community, stood up, and they knew their assignment, and they fought back against a tyrannical government. And because of that, that year, we elected over 12 school board candidates around the county.
And Arthur, you're a full-time nurse. Katie, at this time, was a full-time teacher. You've got a whole house of kids. You've got all this stuff going on, and you still found the time to do the thing you knew was so important. And I commend you for that, and your wife for that, and all the folks here in Shasta County. And Teresa, I'm sure you were involved in that. All the people of that. We have to start standing up with this stuff. So I guess the main thing is, and I'm happy to have you guys on once you get elected, because you're going to get elected, right?
Right.
Okay,
right,
so
right.
Once you guys get elected, we're going to have you on, and you can come on here. You can have a platform on here to where you can go ahead and you can talk to the people out there on what they can do to help you. Because, folks, the parents have the responsibility here. These two people are putting themselves out on the line, and have already done it, both of them. And the thing is, we have to start standing up for our kids. We have two choices. We either fix it or abolish it. We fix the school system or we abolish the school system. A lot of people are leaving the school system. Some people can't. These two are concerned about people that can't afford maybe private schools. They can't afford different things. They don't have the capabilities of homeschooling because mom and dad both work. So they're out there advocating for your kids. We need to support Teresa. We need to support Arthur in this endeavor. And get out there as folks and help them.
Thank you.
And appreciate it.
And Michelle as well. We need to have all three of them in there.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It comes as close to democracy as you can almost get when you are talking about local boards.
Gee, I wonder if the elections will be fixed and rigged against you.
Well, I hope not.
What do you think, Arthur?
Not with Clint Curtis in there.
And if Kenneth Peters is there, too.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
Well, Clint is, as you know, fighting his butt off. Yes. And, you know, we have all these great people
You know you're over the target when you're taking flack.
Yeah,
there it is.
We had him on last week.
Boy, is he upsetting a bunch of people in their status quo.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, So author, what is it you would have folks do right now? I mean, besides vote for you and Teresa and Michelle, what would you have them do right now to make an impact on their children's education with this public education that's controlled by a Democrat legislative body?
Well, with parental rights come with parental responsibilities, right? You can't have your rights without your responsibilities. So many times you sign up for things in the beginning of the school year that you have no clue that you just signed up for, like a big contract for what, your TV or whatever it is. But these are your kids. So the school already sent you something, and you thought it was a photo opt-out. So you're like, oh, you could take kids photos of my kids. I don't care. Maybe that's an AI flock camera that's now in the school districts. You didn't read the fine print. Butte right. County's dealing with that right now. You might have signed that you...
Who has jurisdiction over sending that stuff out?
The school board.
In your district?
In your district.
Go ahead.
And we've seen that with Anderson Union High School with Jackie Lalabera, who did amazing work down there, where they have so many opt-outs, and we did that at the County Board of Education as well. We want our parents to have opt-outs. We would prefer them to be opt-ins. You can't do it unless you opt into it.
Right.
But right now we have a lot of opt-outs. So if you don't agree with LGBT material, you don't agree with sex ed, you don't agree with a faith-based curriculum, it doesn't matter what it is, you can opt out of every single one of those things in your school. Because we just won a Supreme Court case with Mayor Belli in San Diego, in California. It went to the Supreme Court, and we won. That says you as a parent have the fundamental right of the upbringing of your child, and you don't have to teach. You don't have the state teaching your child anything because they're not wards of the state. They're not creatures of the state. They are your children. So now you can opt out of anything you want in school. And so when those...
Okay, what exactly does that mean, and does that affect anything in curriculum? Go ahead.
Correct. So, just like you have a religious belief that you aren't going to involve yourself in holidays. The teacher is not allowed to teach your kid about the holidays. So the kid has to sit out or have an alternative assignment. And it goes to all the things that we talked about. Sex ed. If I don't want my kid to learn about sex ed at school, they have to provide an alternate assignment. They can't bully and harass the kid and make fun of the
like
kid for not doing it like they do and push him into it. And then that's where you, as the parent that has opted your child out, goes down to the school because they are liable for pressuring your kid and pushing stuff on your kid. And then you have the ability to sue the school district, and they don't want to be sued. So they would rather know ahead of time as a parent.
How would you – okay, that's an interesting point. I'm not rushing you at all because this is good stuff. If you want to sue the school, how do you sue the school? How does that even work? And they have an attorney. I bet every board has an attorney that's got, and they've probably got a couple million bucks in case they get sued, I'm guessing. But I guess it'd be, anyway.
That's where you need to know your standing. There is a great place where, I think it's optout.com. I'll find out the information. You guys can put it out later. But you can sign up for all the opt-outs you want, and then that stuff gets sent to your school.
Okay.
So once you have a contract that says, I have opted out of these materials, and you still have employees that are trying to teach my kid these materials I have opted out of, then you have broken the contract, and I will go with my legal authority of my child, and I will find a lawyer, and we will push back against this.
Well, again, I like what you said earlier about opting in.
Yeah.
That way the parent is making a decision whether they want their child to be able to opt into a certain bit of information.
So another piece of advice. I know at the beginning of the school year, kids come home with a ream of paperwork that the parents are supposed to sign and return. I know it's burdensome, and I know you're busy. Read what is in that paper.
Every word.
Every word. Don't just assume, oh, well, sign here. Read it. It probably gives you all of these rights that you have to opt out, but only if you read it and don't just automatically sign, yeah, it's okay, which means you're opting in.
Right.
You know, and again, that's the responsibility of the parent. And I think Teresa gave an excellent example of that when she talked about her children. And she knows her kids.
Right.
My kid isn't going to be good here. My kid's going to be good here. This is going to help my kid. This isn't going to help my kid. She made a decision, folks, as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
She made a decision for the welfare of her children by knowing her kids. A lot of people just shove their kids off to school and go do whatever they're going to do. Again, this falls back on the parental responsibility. What say you, Teresa?
Well, I say that most parents actually, they can homeschool their child. It's not as hard as you think. You know, it would actually be easier if you put your kid into a daycare or a babysitter while you had to go to work, and then you come home and you teach your kid, because you're teaching your kid life skills. It's not as hard as most people think, but because teachers are constantly telling you, oh, this is our job, you can't do this job, you have to be educated, you need credentials. No, you don't. You just need to love your kid. You just need to know what's best for him.
There's a website called publicschoolexit.com. That's publicschoolexit.com. Duran Reese is the president of that. She's also the president of Salt and Light. And the president of the California Republican Assembly is on the board with her, and she's the chairman. So, and I know that they've done a lot of good things helping people who needed money for private schools or needed money. They have funds for that. I think that we could all put our homes just in Duran's swimming pool. But anyway, the point being is I think that there's a lot of good people out there that are generous. What we need to do is pull them all together. Again, you two as parents, meaning Author and Teresa, you two have made the choice of what's best for your children, because you know your children. You know, and folks, that's the main thing. Teresa, I think that what is something that, I mean, I'm going to ask you both this because I've got a few minutes. What really gets your goat about this stuff that you're really going to go after? What really gets your goat, and what are you really going to go after on all this stuff?
I want to get sex ed out of the schools until the kids are actually age appropriate, like maybe junior or senior year. That's they're stealing the innocence of the children. A little boy knows he's a little boy until somebody tells him otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, they're teaching 5-year-olds and fifth graders through high school that sex is okay with anybody as long as you use a condom.
That's
a law. I mean, I could quote you all the laws.
It's an absolute theft of innocence.
Yes.
Let a kid be a kid. Let him learn as a kid.
Be innocent. Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of advocacy groups like Moms for Liberty here in Shasta County that can help out with all this and like help you, guide you through that. So you can just reach out to Moms for Liberty Shasta County. But Teresa's exactly right. By telling kids that they were born in the wrong body, you're telling them that they can be something that they can never be. There's so much mental, you want to talk about mental health. They have shown that telling a kid that they can be something they will never be, a boy cannot be a girl cannot be a boy. It can't happen. God didn't design you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're telling these people something they could never be, it puts them in their own personal hell. Mm-hmm. And they have so many suicides, so many health, self-harm. We can't do that. So we need to get the education focused on education, not indoctrination, not boys and girls sports, not boys and girls bathrooms, not tampons in the kindergarten bathroom. We need to get back to education. So just change the focus. Let's bring back common sense.
Right.
Let's restore innocence. And let the parent be the one that teaches them about
these things.
That's
the whole key.
Right.
Let the parents. And here's something. I'll give you a quick story of the two of you. I was down teaching the Constitution down to the California Republican Assembly in San Mateo County. And we broke for a lunch break, and I went to a Republican Central Committee person's home to have dinner. To have lunch, and we were talking, and she said her neighbor, now she lives in San Carlos, I mean, just a gorgeous home, beautiful. Her neighbors that went to Stanford have a 3-year-old, and her best friend is a little boy, and they came over to Stephanie's house all excited. I mean, they're very wealthy. They live in a very wealthy area, all excited because the little girl's best friend, the little boy, decided he wanted to be a girl, and the parents were going to take him in for a sex change operation. This is a 3-year-old kid, all right? This is the stuff that's going on. This all goes back to the parents. We can do all this stuff with the agencies, and I love Moms for Liberty and all that stuff. You can get advice from them. Hey, folks, when you have a child, take the responsibility of your child. Put yourself in a position where you're taking that responsibility. We have great people like these two who we've got to get people like this elected. These two great people are out there doing whatever they can to help your kids, to help your kids, to help all the kids out there. You have to have a responsibility. And I think we've got to, instead of all these different groups talking about trying to help, how about the parents start educating themselves? Whatever happened to self-reliance in America? What say you, Arthur?
Well, that's exactly right. That's what we talked about earlier. You have to have, if you want your rights, you have to have responsibility that comes with it. And so it's up to you as a parent to get off your phone, stop doom scrolling, and read the fine print. That's exactly what we have to do as school board candidates. Many people don't read their agenda. We go over it and we comb through that thing. There's pages missing. There's all sorts of shenanigans that happen. They put things in consent agenda that you want to vote on, that the staff wants, that you read. Recently, it was the oath of office and the oath to the Constitution. Every teacher has to take an oath. And as board members, that's one of our jurisdiction and authorities, that we have to know that you have the right credentials and that you actually took the oath. But our own staff can't show us that the teachers took the oath. They can show us something on the computer where they could have checked a box that they took an oath, but they can't actually show us that the teacher ever took the oath.
How do you take an oath to something you've never read? And then, how many people have read the California Constitution?
Yeah.
How many people have read the United States? How can you take an oath to something you never read?
And then our jurisdiction is we're saying you did it. So how can I vote on something that I have no clue that you ever did?
That's right.
So this is the thing. Like, parents, right, take back your stuff. Take the responsibility. Read those packets. A lot of things are online. You just checked a box this year because there was 100 things to check. Don't check the box. Read the fine print. Opt out.
And why does there have to be 100 things for the parents to check the box on?
Oh, because they're hiding all the stuff in there. That's why.
They're hiding it in plain sight.
They're hiding in plain sight.
The legislative body of the state of California.
They know that you're not going to read for it, just like Congress. They'll read it later and they'll vote on it now. Like,
yeah.
But these are your kids. So that's what you need to do as a parent. But also, like, once you understand your assignment, your job is to build the team. We're building the bench of amazing candidates. We've actually got over 30 people elected here in Shasta County on school boards. And a lot of positions are up for grabs that no one ran for. So we need all of our conservatives, all of our patriots, all of our state of Jefferson people to, like, sign up to be on that school board. And when the bad things come down, just like October 18th, 2021, we just say no. Thanks for your advice. Yeah. We're not doing it. We're running for school board.
Okay, so then just for clarity, too, so if there's a school board that is deficit as far as enough people running or people that need to run there that would do a good job and they don't live in that district, can they run there?
No, you have to be over 18,
mm-hmm,
be a voter, a citizen, mm-hmm, and you have to live in the area that you will represent.
Okay.
Okay, now before we go any further, Teresa, can you give people where your website is, how they can get a hold of you? Go ahead.
I don't have a website.
Okay.
I'm kind of a tech-tard.
Okay. How do they get a hold of you?
They can get to me on, let me see that real quick, at voteteresaroberts@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Facebook, and I believe that is Vote Teresa Roberts 2024. So it's 2 years old.
Okay, and how do they spell Teresa, just to make sure?
T-E-R-E-S-A, okay. No H.
No H, okay.
Author, sir.
Yes, sir.
What's your stuff?
So I have an amazing wife, you know, that designs websites, because
yep,
I am
yep,
not a tech-tard, but I am not as good as my wife, and she is an amazing woman.
Yes, she is.
So you can go to Boat Author Gorman. My name is spelled a little bit different. So Vote Author, A-U-T-H-U-R, Gorman, G-O-R-M-A-N.com. And we have an amazing fundraiser where you can come and meet me and all these amazing candidates that are running. This is going to be August 28th at the Anderson VFW. Come down there, 5 o'clock. You can vote. You can get a bunch of stuff that you want. You can support great candidates. You can meet Teresa and Michelle, and I think there's going to be probably 5 or 6 other school board members there, because
oh, nice,
you guys need to meet these people that are actually running for you, standing nice up for you. But I'd love you to come and support me August 28th. You can get yard signs from a lot of us. You can come and learn more about school boards, and we're going to be taking care of you in Shasta County and make sure your kids are focused on education.
And that's next Friday, this coming Friday, the end of this week,
yep,
this coming week. And it's doors open at 4?
Yes.
And dinner starts at 6.
At the Veterans Hall.
At the VFW at 3210 Center Street in Anderson.
Oh, and good boy.
Yep.
Win.
And you can buy...
Been there a couple times.
Yeah. You can buy tickets right on voteauthorgorman.com, or you can go to Jonesport and pay with the check there.
There you go.
Teresa Roberts, Author Gorman, time has come.
For 51.
And we're getting it done.
Amen.
Thank you. We've got the right to choose it. There
from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.